I would argue that maybe one of the most prominent citizens or corporations, I guess, occupying space in Northlake, Texas, got to be Farmer Brothers Coffee, relocated from California to Northlake here a few years ago. Now they're settled in. Now they're growing by acquisition, and it's time to check back in with the CEO, Mike Cowan. It's good to have you with us.
Well, thank you for having me, David.
So you are? I mean, you're a Texan now.
I'm a Texan. We're still working on it, but it's great to be here.
I know, you know, considering the in-migration here, with, you know, what, 250 people a week or something, you can't. I mean, you've got 3 years under your belt.
And we certainly see the growth out in our area.
Yeah.
It's really filling in quite well.
And just, I mean, we say Northlake, but, I mean, to fix it in people's minds, you're at 35 and in 114.
Basically across the street from Texas Motor Speedway.
Exactly. So Farmer Brothers has been around forever. It's a brand that's been around for 100 years. But you're growing again, and this has got to be a good time for coffee. Everybody's drinking coffee.
But it's a very good time for coffee. It's fascinating. We continue to see coffee grow. And one of the interesting dynamics that's changed is it's young people now driving the category. And as somebody who grew up in the 70s, they're drinking a lot less soft drinks and a lot more coffee and to some extent tea.
But they don't seem to be as brand aware anymore. We saw earnings out of Kraft Heinz the other day, and they said Maxwell House, they're probably going to get rid of it. They said it was just not performing like they thought. And Smucker's paid way up to buy Folger, and now they've written it down, written a lot of the cost that they paid down. And evidently people are drinking coffee, but they don't care about the brands anymore.
Well, I can't really comment specifically on those two, but what we do see is premium coffee continues to grow, and some of those mainstream brands from the 70s and 80s, perhaps where they hit their heyday, are a little bit dated, and consumers want to make their own type of coffee at home with very high quality standards, and they don't seem to be as aware of the brand.
But you make coffee for others. I mean, people drink Farmer Brothers coffee without knowing it, I guess.
Most people wouldn't know they're drinking Farmer Brothers. We think we make fantastic coffee. Our customers tell us that, but often they're private label, or they're under the customer's brand name or restaurant name, not ours.
What, and the restaurant business, obviously you supply coffee, you supply tea, but you supply all sorts of things, spices and lemonades and soft drinks and everything. You're sort of, this is an evolution of the company, isn't it?
Yep, we major in coffee and tea, but you'll find many of the products, to your point, that you see in the back of a restaurant, we sell the spices, all the coffee preparation type of products. Even soup bases and pancake mix will sell if the customer wants
this
it.
This is sounding more like Cisco.
Well,
is that a major competitor?
To some extent, they're a competitor, but we have a world-class roasting facility, and we make terrific coffee, and we've got master roasters that we've brought in from around the world in some cases, and that's an area some of those food distribution companies don't do that we do.
And as I remember our conversations, your coffee comes from around the world, too. It's not, you're not just getting it out of some mountains in Latin America someplace. You got, what, 20, 25 countries?
That's right. That's the right range. In fact, we're probably up to about 30 countries now that we buy coffee from, and it comes to the Dallas-Fort Worth area and our other roasting centers as well.
How do you get it here? Is it shipped in?
Yep. It's quite a complicated process where we will work with importers or directly to ensure we're buying quality coffee in those countries, then we test it while it's on the boat, and then we test it while it's here, always ensuring that it's exactly what our master roasters want.
Well, it's a commodity, so it's cyclical in price. And I guess it must be impacted by weather.
Weather can be a very big driver of the production. And more recently, variances in the climate have made it challenging in some areas to grow. And then you get plant diseases. So it really is a global agricultural commodity that you need to be aware of Mother Nature.
And thinking where some of this comes from, politics must play a consideration too.
Yeah, politics does.
Venezuelan coffee, for example.
Well, absolutely. And one of the things we do see, both politics and sports, we'll find given a World Cup win or loss, the ports might be closed disproportionately if the local folks are celebrating after a big win in Central or South America. We'll actually see a couple days of a slowdown perhaps after a big celebration.
Does any grow in the United States?
Just in a couple of areas. It's a great question. Kona, of course, in Hawaii.
Well, yeah.
And then recently there's been some very progressive farmers finding ways to grow coffee in California. and on the West Coast. But it's relatively small and incredibly high end.
So I mentioned your growth by acquisition, but you just recently bought a company in, where is it, Oregon?
In Oregon, in Portland, Oregon. We bought the Boyd Coffee Company. They have a very proud history of being run by the Boyd family, and we opted to work with them, and they opted to work with us, and we partnered and have brought a lot of that coffee volume to our facility in DFW.
So you're still looking?
We'll continue to look for the right opportunities. Boyd certainly was. It was a good cultural fit in terms of how the organizations have worked, and where those opportunities come to life, we'll take a look.
So are there still a lot of smaller regional players? I never think about that.
In the U.S. coffee market, there's literally hundreds of roasters. Some we'd call micro roasters, some medium size. We'd be on the high end, and then you've got the very significant people, like a Kraft or a Smucker's or Starbucks and Pete's. They're probably the highest end of the food chain in terms of size.
I would think they're great barriers to entry. I mean, just sourcing the stuff and then roasting it, then distribution.
There really aren't, believe it or not. Almost anybody can get their hands on a roaster and bring in coffee. The trick is to do it well. One of the areas we see is a lot of turnover among the smaller people as the industry attracts people in. But if you don't have the skill set to do those things, you can lose a lot of money in a hurry.
So what's the next big thing? What's hot out there? Is it flavored coffees?
Well, coffee continues to kind of fractionate. It's growing, but we see things like cold brew that people are drinking in the afternoon. It can be served over ice. That continues to grow.
This is with nitrogen or something?
In some cases, it pours out of a tap, almost like a Guinness.
Yeah.
And it's very foamy. There's a lot of theater in the preparation. But we're going to continue to see coffee just move in all sorts of areas, whether it's in beverages, but also we're seeing a lot of chefs now look at it for things like rubs to prepare a meat or something.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, I've seen that. It sounds like a good business to be in. Your stock's up net for the year, so yeah, it must be pretty good to be you.
Well, we try not to focus too much on the stock on a day-to-day. We've had some highs. It's been down a little bit from those highs, but we just try to stay focused on executing, and then we'll let the stock take care of itself.
Farmer Brothers Coffee's headquartered right in Northlake, Texas. And Mike Cowan's the CEO, and it's always good to have you with us.
Well, thank you very much, David. It's great to be here.
Thanks. I'm David Johnson. News Radio 1080 KRLD.